Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry,
ooh,
come and listen.
Persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions.
Ooh,
and now, your host,
Anna. The Real McCoy!
Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
All right, we want to thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Shauna Stallworth, stepping in for our master coach, Coach Anna McCoy, and we're
excited. Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions.
Ooh,
and now, your host,
Anna. The Real McCoy!
Well, welcome to the show. If you're watching us live on womanactnow.com, you can see us. We are broadcasting live via Ustream. Well, ladies, I am excited to be with you today, and I see that we have you calling in. I mean, you are on this phone. Do you hear me? Folks want to get to talking about that. We've got folks from Dallas, from Atlanta, from all over the place. So, Shauna, we've got to finish what we started.
And apparently so, and they are ready.
So let me welcome you to Woman Act Now Radio with your coach, Coach Anna McCoy, on The Real McCoy Show. And I have here with me today Shauna Stallworth, my sidekick. So we're going to be talking about the Annaisms of marriage. What I know for sure about marriage, that is our topic today. So we're going to open up those lines shortly. Now, if you are listening, that's great. If you're listening via the call-in number, and you can call in at 718-664-6402 to participate in our call today. If you would like to speak, we need you to choose the option to speak to the host so that we can talk with you today. So, again, you're listening to Woman Act Now Radio with Coach Anna McCoy, The Real McCoy Show. Well, Shauna, we better get started. I mean, they're calling in here. What is that? We've got them from Florida, from, I don't even know, 678. Maybe that's here or New York or so. I don't know where that is. But anyway, y'all calling in, so you raise those hands. So let's get started. We were talking about the Annaism of marriage. What I know for sure. What I know for sure is, let's go over a couple of things, okay? We were talking about marriage, and I think I made it to, was it number 5 or number 6? Let's see. Shauna, we made it to, but let's give, because some of our listeners haven't heard this before, so we're going to try to get through all 40 of them today. The first one is, actions taken in the first 90 days will determine the direction and the success of your marriage. And now, as I go through these, this has to do for those that are newlyweds, that are just getting into new relationships, because this entire month on Woman Act Now, we are talking about relationships, the power of relationships, the benefit of relationships. So we want you to tune in. You can visit us at womanactnow.com to be a part of it. Consider joining the organization so that we can help you to execute on your dreams. But right now, actions taken in those first 90 days will determine the direction and the success of your marriage. Now, I did have the opportunity of coaching Shauna and her husband, Marcus Stallworth, before they got married. So Shauna's going to be married and celebrating 4 years of marriage on next week, February the 10th. That's the special date. And what happened in those first 90 days, Shauna?
Oh, quite a bit. You know what? I was reading through one of the Anna-isms, and we'll get to that later on as
yes.
we go throughout them. And one of the things that we did do is we focused on really cultivating our marriage, or really the two becoming one. We spent a lot of time together, but what we did notice, or what I can say, is that when disagreements came up or anything that would make us, what we learned in counseling, in apple or in orange.
Oh, that's a good one.
My sweetheart mostly would often reflect to it. Or if I remember distinctly, there was one session we had. You had us both stand up and look at the picture.
Yes.
And you have that picture currently in your
home.
Right.
That's on here.
And it had so many different people, so many different frames in that picture.
Yes.
And you said, Shauna, that's all of the relationships that were in your life, all of the people, all of the things that you dealt with. Well, inside of that frame now, you have to make your own memories. And each one of those should be for you and your sweetheart. And this is not that. It's not what it was. It's what you guys will put inside your frame.
Ooh, that was good, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
That was some powerful stuff. And what that principle is building a frame of reference for your marriage. And what I mean by that, and Shauna is, and so let me just go to that one. It's any one of these. It's one of 40. I'm not sure which one it is. But it's build a frame of reference. And I recall as we were going through those sessions, you know, and Shauna was trying to hold on to her individuality and, you know, really being insistent, as well as her would-be husband, about what they knew for sure. You know what I'm saying? This is what they knew for sure. And as we were sitting there and we were talking about building a frame of reference, and she refers to that picture, and if any of you have been to our home here, you look for that picture the next time you come here, and you can go take a much closer look. When you come into the foyer, just look upstairs, and you're going to see this big picture with all of these pictures in a picture. And so I actually discovered that from really working with my husband and taking things that I learned from my relationships, from my family, and trying to impose those ideas on my marriage, on my relationship with my husband. Now, you got to understand, I didn't hardly get along with my own siblings, and we grew up together. So now we got two other brains coming together. We don't know nothing about each other. We weren't raised by the same parents. We didn't have the same influences. So now we've got to, together, come and build a frame of reference that we can refer, that we can make new decisions. So to make that simpler for us, Shauna, give us an example of, there was another situation that had to do with midnight service, about building that frame of reference and creating really your own pictures for your relationship. When you're, it's like a tapestry. You can paint your own picture, or you can live in somebody else's picture. And I really encourage them to build their own frame of reference.
Well, so both of us for so many years were very involved within the church. And for so many years, we were always either in church on watch night, or I'm a recording artist, I would be out singing, or we'd be ministering somewhere on watch night. So we were always in church at a certain time on the last day of the year. So we were so gung-ho that we were both committed to going at the last service, because our service, our church, actually, they have two services.
Mm-hmm. Just give me one second. I need a station break right here, because my sweetheart's trying to get in touch with me.
Okay.
And we're doing Woman Act Now Radio, The Real McCoy Show, with Shauna and Coach Anna, and we're talking about relationships today. So I'm going to let Shauna continue. We're going to take a short break, though, if you'll give me just a second, because it might be something urgent that I need to take care of. And we're going to come right back with you. So don't leave that phone, because you got to hear the rest of this story.
You know you need to get control of your finances, but like many people, you probably don't know where to start. That's why Anna McCoy and her husband Richmond have created a plan of action they call Building Generational Wealth. This easy-to-follow workbook contains step-by-step instructions that will enable you to understand and act to secure your financial future. You'll learn how to determine your net worth, reduce debt, manage your money, and even plan for retirement. Seize your financial future today. To order, simply visit AnnaMcCoy.com.
Well, I want to welcome you back to Blog Talk Radio or Woman Act Now Radio. You're listening to Coach Anna McCoy, and I am her trusted sidekick, Shauna Stallworth, here on Woman Act Now Radio. And if you're just joining us, what we've been talking about today are the Anna-isms of marriage. All this month on Woman Act Now, our topic for the month are relationships. And prior to our commercial break, what we were talking about was actually building your own frames of reference. And one of the things that I had an opportunity to share before the commercial is I was sharing with our audience as it relates to what my husband and I felt like would be one of the main things that we would do within our marriage based off of what we had done previously when we were single. Well, so coming up to that place, what we basically decided is for the first year of marriage, we went to watch night service, the last service, because like I stated, our church actually has two services, which was really good. But we both felt like we needed to be in the service or in church at 12 o'clock midnight. We needed to bring in the new year.
Now, let me interrupt here.
Okay.
Because, you know, she's going to tell y'all the story like they really had this. They did not have it, okay? Let's just be real here. They had no clue. Because I asked them, they were so tough on it, so resolute about this midnight service thing. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, oh, my God. They don't have a clue about their frame of reference. So what did I say to you? Well, why do you go to midnight service? Go ahead and tell them why, Shauna.
It's because of what we've always done. It's what my mother did. It's what we grew up doing. And my sweetheart, I mean, was basically the same.
So what did I ask you all to do?
I can't even think.
When it came to building your own frame of reference.
Oh, to at least have an open mind about things and to just consider as it relates to moving forward. Just stay open.
Yes, stay open and create their own watch night ritual or whatever they were going to do so they could do what in the future was to avoid conflict. So this past night watch, she's been married. I told you she was going on 4 years. So this past night watch, and this is the thing about when you get coaching or counseling from somebody that knows you, that you can develop a history with. And see, the one thing that we did, my husband and I, we committed to Marcus and Shauna's success as a marriage. That makes a difference. My mentors committed to our success as a marriage. So we have to remain open because I was in agreement with this thing. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm going to hold you accountable to do the right thing. So night watch service comes along, and Shauna was talking about, well, they just got that 10 o'clock service. We used to go, and we didn't. I said, well, wait a minute, baby. Don't y'all like to be in church at midnight? Oh, no, we stopped going to church at midnight 2 years ago.
We built a new what? Frame of reference.
Oh, it is lovely, ladies. I'm here to tell you it's a lovely one. So when you're thinking about this, one of those Anna-isms, or what I know for sure, is that you've got to build your own frame. You've got to be the creator. You have to take that and really, you have to be a person or persons coming together who will build your own tapestry. You will start weaving your own threads for your life. And you know what? If you don't, you'll always be stuck with mama said or daddy said or this is the way our family does it, rather than just talking to each other and say, honey, what would really work for you? Does that work for you? Why wouldn't you want to do this? And come up with your own frame of reference. So you're listening to Coach Anna McCoy with Woman Act Now Radio, The Real McCoy Show, with my sidekick here, Shauna. And so we're going to share a few more, and then I'm going to open up the lines to get some feedback on some of the things that we've shared with you. So the next one is, relationships that ultimately fail or derail maintain the initial problems of their early years. Individuals have a tendency to remember the initial hurts during the early months of their marital relationship. Now, I'm going to be transparent with you on this one because this principle comes from my own experience of what I know for sure about marriage, about relationships, ladies, is that my sweetheart and I, when we first got married, you know, I was telling you about that opening the door kind of thing, and you get your feelings hurt because he don't open the door. As a matter of fact, I was watching Why Did I Get Married recently by Tyler Perry, and there was a scene in the movie where, first of all of that laundry was spilled out, right? And she had gotten her tubes tied without telling her husband, who really wanted children, wanted additional children. He wanted a son, and he had been after her for years to have the son, but after she had her first child, she tied her tubes, and she never told him. And so everybody's relationship started blowing up. And so she gets in the car and leaves the door open, and because, you know, normally he would close the door, make sure his wife was in there, but he was so upset he didn't close that door. He's like, close your own door. Because you know what? You're going to be on your own here in a minute. So when we think about the early things that happen in our relationship, and one of the things early on in my relationship that occurred is my husband and I, we used to work together every single day, okay? I worked 16 hours. He worked 8. You go figure. He was the CEO, and I was the do-it girl. So one of the things that was a challenge as CEO, and he was an accomplished businessman. It wasn't like we were just trying to start something and we didn't have experience. He was a very accomplished businessman. He was on the cover of Fortune magazine when I met him. He was in all sorts of media, all this, you know, an eligible bachelor. And he really thought he was the hot stuff, y'all, and thought that I was just a little young girl, you know, inexperienced, didn't have any knowledge. And so the way he would communicate to me, or if we were going out with clients or he had guests, he would always say things like, well, you just make sure you look this way or you look that way. Or you. I said, do you know who you're talking to? He was like, what do you mean? I said, I'm a grown woman, okay? That's how I responded. I said, you don't have to tell me because I'm grown. I am not a child. And he's like, well, what are you talking about? But see, what I'm trying to identify for you, what I felt is that he didn't respect me as a woman with knowledge or just as his partner and his friend, his wife, you know. And I'm thinking, you don't talk to your wife like that. You don't need to communicate to me like I'm one of your workers, okay? We got an issue. And so those early hurts, you know how long I carried that? I remember I was in a meeting with him, and it was my meeting, not his. We went to see the president of General Electric, one of their divisions. And we were sitting in that meeting, and I was communicating the vision that I had, and he just cut me off. Oh, y'all, that was early on. That was in the first year of the marriage. Look, I carried that hurt for 5 years. I was going to make him suffer. You know why? Because 5 years later, the relationship got to a point of explosive. It was explosive. It was volatile. Something was going on, and we really couldn't explain it. We just knew that the pressure of the relationship was changing and felt like we were in that pressure cooker, and we needed some help. And so we were moving a lot. We were traveling a lot. We were apart a lot. So there were a lot of pieces that added to this pressure. So we went to see my mentor, Al Hollingsworth, and they spent 4 days with us to re-coach us. What do you call it? You know, you got to go back for a tune-up. So we went back for a tune-up, and what we recognized in those discussions, what came out for me that was so very painful for me was that one incident in the office of that president. How embarrassed I was, how disrespected I felt. And I held on to that, and everything he did or whatever he was doing, or it became my filter. That's why I say is that individuals have a tendency to remember the initial hurt during the early months of your marital relationship. So if you're in a challenge right now and you're starting to think about some of the issues that you're facing, I want to challenge you to go back to some of the things that you faced when you first got married. Have they changed? What's pretty much the root of the issue? And I'm pretty sure you're going to find, look, I've been talking to you for this about 20 years. When are you going to hear me? Because if we don't address the issue, and when we came together, we had an opportunity to lay it on the table. And my mentor says, now, Anna, do you want to continue to use that filter? Who is your husband today? And he wasn't treating me that way today at that five-year mark, but it was so damaging for me in the first year of our marriage that everything was filtered through that. You think I'm a just, you know, who do you think you are? You just think I'm not, you know, that kind of attitude. And that was getting me what? Nowhere fast. I was making progress, but I wasn't moving very fast. So when you think about what I know for sure about marriage, you need to take an inventory of what you was mad about, at least in that first or second year. And if those problems are still in your marriage today, and it's 5 years later, it's 4 years later, it's 20 years later, then you really haven't dealt with the issues. Did you want to say something?
That's good. That's good.
All right, I have a caller from the 407 area code. I want to invite you to the show. You're listening to Coach Anna McCoy, Woman Act Now Radio, with my sidekick, Shauna Stallworth. Welcome to the show. Are you there? All right, give me one more second. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, please identify yourself.
This is Madonna Alexis in Orlando.
Hey, Madonna, how are you doing today?
I'm good, actually. This is a great topic.
Yes, it is. Do you have any comments or questions?
Well, I can actually identify with the story that you just gave because in the beginning of my relationship with my husband, I felt that he didn't protect me enough with his family because they really didn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that I was too strong, too bold, and there was just I rubbed them the wrong way for whatever reason.
Yes.
And I felt like he really didn't protect me, so I actually held on to a lot of animosity towards him. And I realized, like I think a year ago, I realized that it was still there, and I had to kind of deal with it. And it really talked about what you talked about with the ugly last conversation
yes.
that we had. That's what
yes.
kind of builds up in your filter. You just start thinking negative thoughts, and sometimes you're thinking, what's wrong with you? Why are you acting like that for no reason, just being angry? And that's kind of where it stems from.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I'm telling you, ladies, I had to go to the altar. I think I had a spirit of anger on me. I was just mad about everything. You can hardly get me mad now. I was delivered. You know, we had Debbie Titus here with the table experience, and she was preaching in Pennsylvania 1 year that was near New York where I was living at the time. And I said, I just got to get out of here. I just need to get out. And I'm just going to get out of here. I need to go to this conference because I need Jesus. Okay, I went to that conference, and that Debbie Titus got up there on that stage, and she started preaching and talking about anger. And I'm telling you, ladies, if there were 1,500 women in the audience, 1,000 of us was at the altar.
Yeah.
We all had such anger, and she was talking about these relationships and the relationship you're in with your spouse, your children, and we were just mad. You ever seen some mad women at the altar? We was ugly mad, just want some deliverance. Somebody need to help me because I'm about to kill somebody if somebody don't help me. And so when you think about this, it is so very necessary that we get in touch with who we are and who we are in relationship with. Because if we don't,
mm-hmm.
we are going to go right to number 6, which says, when the tables turn and it appears that your mate is selfish and self-serving, your admiration may quickly turn to resentment. And notice I said, when it appears as though, and Madonna, you just said, I don't even know what this was, but your filter was the same as mine.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what they do, you don't understand. I got some issues here. I got an issue filter right here, issue filter. And whatever you say or do, and if you rub me the wrong way just a little bit, I used to like you. I thought you was a real sharp businessman, but now you really making me mad. Why? Because that was a filter, because all that stuff that we admire in our mate, are they admiring you? When we don't deal with the issues, it turns to resentment.
Yes, it does.
I want to thank you for joining us, and I'm going to just put you on mute for a minute, and if you want to come back, you can just let us know.
Okay.
All right, you're listening to Coach Anna McCoy with my sidekick, Shauna Stallworth, on Woman Act Now Radio, The Real McCoy Show. So we're talking about what I know for sure, what Coach Anna knows for sure about marriage, and the 40 Annaisms. And they are available on our website at womanactnow.com. So let's continue. My goodness, I'm probably never going to make it through this list. So you need to go get your list. Failure is measured by goals. We must make commitments to each other. Our commitments are our agreements. Agreements are only agreements when we are clear. They have times and dates attached. You know, ladies, I've been teaching about time management. We spent the whole month talking about time management. But when we think about our marriage and our relationship, Shauna, and you're trying to have a quality relationship with someone,
yes,
if you don't establish goals for that relationship, clear expectation, no different than what we would do in business or we do with anyone else. What is the problem with the mate issue? That I can't, if I want something,
mm-hmm,
but I can't be clear enough, or you don't think I'm clear enough,
mm-hmm,
that we understand each other and we can move in a direction that's in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
I say that marriage, you have to have a mindset of having the business of marriage for your life. Not just being in business and doing business and handling,
mm-hmm,
your business.
Mm-hmm.
And we say those words, but at the end of the day, do you handle your business like a marriage?
Mm-hmm.
And it really needs to be. Some of the things that we do in business, we would never do just in general. We would never, you know, if you go into agreement with someone, if you got a partner in business, you got a contract. You want to, and that contract states what your expectations are of each other. You hold each other accountable,
yes,
for that contract. Then you go so far as in building in the contract. If the partnership goes wrong, then these are the things that we're going to, this is how we're going to handle it. Doesn't mean we're always going to break up, but if we need to go to court, if we need arbitration, if we need a third party,
mm-hmm,
we build that into a business contract.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to our marriage relationship, we're all just out there just running, you know, just out there, just doing your thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know what you're doing. You know you don't.
Mm-hmm. That's because a lot of times it's too hurtful to let somebody else see the real you.
Ooh, girl, you didn't got me to a subject matter. Dancing in the dark. Mm. You spend 2-3 years dancing in the dark. You don't know who you done married.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I've been knowing him for 5 years. But like I say, one of the things I know for sure about marriage, you don't know a man till you marry him. You got to be in there with him all the time. See all that dating stuff and y'all swapping houses and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You don't know him until you are with him 24/7. That you got to wake up with that brother. You got to live with him. You got to share a bunch of things. And that's only when you get married and you're in that house together. And if you're staying with someone and you're unmarried, then you probably got a good idea too. So when we think about marriage and coming to this place of starting to dance in the light, you know what that is, right?
Amazing.
Dancing in the light is different from dancing in the dark.
Yes.
Because what happens, Shauna?
I mean, your eyes have become open. You know,
ooh,
everything about that person and about you.
Yeah,
because it's not always about finding out what their ugly is or what their truths are,
yes,
I should say.
Yes.
But it's about discovering what your truths are together, what is yours and what is his, and how the two of you can still come into agreement and move forward with those truths.
Yeah. But what do you think? How do you think we do that? How do you think we just move forward? I think we move forward. We have to have open communication.
Yes.
And that's what I know for sure about marriage. Because guess what? If you're not talking, you got some real issues.
Yes.
So how do you handle that when y'all don't talk, Shauna?
That's not a good thing. That's one of the things that I dislike the most.
Mm.
And because my sweetheart may be ready to talk a whole lot quicker than me.
Mm.
I have to fight self
to come to a place to where I'm ready to talk. But I find myself, I mean, we're just 4 years into it now, but I find myself now wanting to, trying to fight self quicker so that we can talk about the issue, because not being in agreement is just, it's like you don't know what to do. It's a ugly place to be. Not being in agreement is an ugly place to be.
Do you remember when you were in your coaching and counseling sessions with us, what I talked about in reframing words?
Yes.
You know, we talk about creating your frame of reference, mm-hmm. but there's another part of this, that another anaism is that you got to create your own language.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about your five love languages. I'm saying is that you have to create a language that the two of you understand.
Yes.
One of the words that I said, I think when we were together, was harmony and disharmony. Instead of us using words like I'm mad at you, I'm angry with you, or this doesn't feel right, or this whatever, using a word like, honey, we need to talk because I'm feeling a little bit of disharmony here.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that when I say that? What goes on? What's bouncing on the inside of you when I say to you, we're out of sync, we're in disharmony, I'd like to be in harmony with you? Are you taking that personally?
Well,
are you reacting,
you know what,
to it personally?
You know what,
feel the words. Feel those words. When I say, if I came to you and those who are listening to
I
me.
I am. I'm reacting to it personally, because what I immediately do is I begin searching to see what I may have done to make you feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
Or what action, what word, what occurred within these past few days or these past few moments that has caused you to feel that way.
But what if I said it with the same issue I have, you know, I need to talk to you because I'm really upset with you?
Then I'll probably know exactly what you're talking about.
Would you? So if we were to recreate our language instead of saying, but I'm trying to get to, what do you feel when I use those words? I'm upset with you. I'm angry. I'm just versus saying,
mm-hmm.
we're out of harmony here. Both of us, we've created our language, by the way,
mm-hmm.
is that when me and my husband, if we're out of sync, then we're out of harmony. And our whole objective in the marriage is to be in harmony
mm-hmm.
with each other. So I'm saying if we reframe the way we communicate with each
mm-hmm.
other and put it in a frame that we know what we're talking about, regardless to how angry I am,
mm-hmm.
how upset I am, how resentful I am.
Mm-hmm.
But if I say to you that I'm feeling a little disharmony right now, can we talk?
We can talk then.
We can talk, but do you feel as threatened by my?
No, but when you say you're upset
and mad,
I say, well, I'm upset too.
Well, that's what I was really looking for the first time,
mm-hmm.
is yes, I'm upset because we're going to react to that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start to change your words that both of you can agree upon, then you can start to make progress. When we come to places where we can't communicate with each other, you haven't established a communication system in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can reestablish how you communicate with each other and hold each other accountable to that.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, let me go back to when I talked about how disappointed I was, how I held on to that anger of being disrespected with my husband. And
mm-hmm.
I had built up this whole idea in my mind that who does he think he is? He think he's all that in a slice of bread. You know what I'm saying? I built that in my head
mm-hmm.
until I was able to reframe what my expectations were. So when I was with Coach and Mrs. H, they gave us an opportunity to reframe,
mm-hmm.
to create a new language that gave me an opportunity to express how I felt,
mm-hmm.
what was going on inside of me without being so emotional that I made it worse for just talking about it. But
okay.
I really wasn't saying what I really meant.
Yes.
Because the emotion and the anger took over. And I really wasn't able just to communicate, this is what I wanted to communicate to him,
mm-hmm.
is, honey, I would really appreciate if when we're in a meeting together that you would be respectful, that if I am speaking, you don't interrupt me. Allow me an opportunity to share my vision or to share my portion of whatever we're doing, because when you do that, it makes me feel disrespected. 5 years, I never could get that statement out.
Mm-hmm.
until I got there, and it didn't come out in a verbal way. It came out in writing. The question to me was, Anna, write down the things that you like to see your husband do differently. I wrote them down, and one of those, I would like him, when we are in a meeting, to allow me an opportunity to express my views without interruption. Because when he does not, I feel what? Disrespected. And you know what? I never said the words to him. I turned the paper around, and he said, trade papers. When he started reading, and my sweetheart, he is so precious. When he started reading what was holding me back in the relationship, you know what he said? I could do this. I didn't know, but I could do this. 5 years of pain and suffering. Not because of him, and I'm not blaming him, but what I'm saying, I'm blaming myself because at no point did I ever have an understanding or the courage to develop a way to communicate to him what I was truly feeling. And so a part of that, what I know for sure about relationships and marriage is the fact that if you don't know how to communicate, and I know some of y'all ought to be busting out of your seams right now saying, well, what if you have a spouse who doesn't communicate? What if you, well, I can't ever talk because, again, we just expressed. Of course, you can't talk. Neither one of you are sane when you're angry. Mm-hmm. You've got to change your environment. Mm-hmm. We could have never had that conversation in the privacy of our own home. Maybe we could have had it at a Starbucks in public somewhere. But I'm going to tell you this other thing that I know for sure about marriage is you cannot be in a marriage and not be accountable to someone, to another couple, yeah. Not just a single person. Or a pastor or a leader, and that's all you're accountable. You need to be accountable to a man and a woman that you trust. And they don't always have to be your pastor. They need to be integrity, character, driven people that you can watch, transparent, that you can see that their marriage is fruitful, productive. Yes. And if it is, then you want to be open. You want to be transparent about everything that is a challenge for you in that marriage. But I'm telling you, many of you start to say, well, we need to talk to somebody. People, everybody starts shutting down. You think it's just the man, but the woman got a little bit of shutdown in her, too. I ain't telling all that.
That's right.
You know, and at the end of the day, it's not going to hurt anyone but you. If you love your spouse and that spouse loves you, you're going to be the one sitting there holding that bag later because somebody didn't come into a place of agreement. And you know what? I recognize something with this topic today. And with this whole topic of relationships with our members is that I know that I'm going to open up some cans, and I understand that, but at the same time, I want to make sure that you understand is that we're interested in the whole woman. We're interested in us being well all around. Mm-hmm. We can't spend all our time just trying to accomplish things and do things, but yet you have an unhealthy relationship with your spouse, with your children. So those relationships have to be, corrected, they have to be nurtured, they have to be challenged if necessary. And that's what we're doing today. We're really putting a little bit out there to challenge you to think about how are you handling that relationship in your life. You're listening to Coach Anna McCoy with Woman Act Now Radio with my sidekick, Shauna Stallworth, Woman Act Now Radio, The Real McCoy Show. So we're talking about what I know for sure about marriage, about relationships, the Annaisms of marriage, what I know for sure. I'm not saying you know, but I'm just sharing with you that, hey, in my journey, hey, I discovered a few things. Mm-hmm. And if perhaps I would have done this before, then perhaps I would have accelerated a lot faster. I would have avoided a lot of pain and suffering. Because you know that's what we want to do is avoid pain and suffering.
Oh, yes.
Because I was telling Shauna in their sessions, listen, you better listen because you just want to avoid some pain and suffering. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, and I'm not sure if she would fully explain the session where they did the red and the yellow. When they were single, he was red and she was yellow, or opposite. When they came together, they were supposed to be orange. And what they came to understand, even up to their wedding day, was they began to recognize when it was time, because there are moments before you're married that you should be orange. When you're making decisions about your future together, this frame of reference that you're creating, but if you're still taking a position as red or yellow, you got some issues, and those same issues are going to follow you later on. Here's one. Every minute you save by being systematic about accelerating your marriage transition is a minute you gain to build a positive, impactful, and purposeful life together. And what I mean by that, when you go into marriage, we have what we call marriage transition. And marriage is a transition of the highest form. It is the spiritual and physical manifestation of the two becoming one in spirit and in flesh. Newlyweds should focus on early marriage success as an acceleration of transition rather than preventing failure. And what we have to do, we have to create environments of learning and environments or cycles of success in our relationship. And what I mean by that is you got to be very conscious when you marry or get into a relationship. Let's say some of y'all aren't married, but you are starting a date, and how to develop cycles of success in the relationship without dancing in the dark.
Yes.
People try to, you know, act like it's, you know, hey, this is really me, but you really show up with a whole nother person. And then all of a sudden you get married, you're like, who is that?
What?
I didn't meet you. Where'd you come from? So we have to learn how to create cycles of success with our mates or with our future mates that is dancing in the light so that we see who we're dealing with. Can you have to ask this question. If you're married, can you truly be honest with your mate right now about some difficult things in your life? You know, and I've talked to a lot of women, and even when I had my my session with my coach, I said one of the things I share with him is that now I want to know up front if you can talk with us openly, objectively, I mean, or yeah, objectively, that you won't be on Richmond's side, that you are not trying to rub shoulders and bump chests because you're men, but can you be honest with us? Is there any subject matter that is off limits? If there is, we don't need to start any discussions. That's how I felt going into this. And no, we'll talk about everything. I promise, Anna, I will be objective in this. And I said, I don't want you trying to figure out if you're going to hurt his feelings or not or try to be gentle. And, you know, you need to get his agreement up front that we can talk about anything and you will be okay with that, you and Mrs. H. Otherwise, there's no need for us to have a discussion because I'm going to walk away from that conversation thinking that no one was on my side, that you were all for him. And if we're going to have that at the end of this moment, I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be a part of that. Okay? And it didn't happen that way, but what it did allow was an opportunity in an environment of transparency.
Yes.
And that's in every area because we've got to deal with our finances. We've got to deal with submission. Mm-hmm. We had to deal with, you know, obedience, all kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know, just tell me what you want. We ain't got to go through all that. You know what I'm saying? Your sexual life, you have to deal with everything when it comes to your relationship. And many of us, we get married and we don't say anything to anyone. And I'm not asking you to broadcast all your business here today, but I'm just saying you've got to find someone that you can get into relationship with that you trust, and that you all can talk openly, that you have someone who can hold you accountable to be successful. Richmond and I hold Shauna and Marcus accountable. Boy, if she came to me and started talking about it, I'd go over there and wring both of their necks. There's no reason for them to be acting a fool. They know too much. They've got too much information. And so, and not only that, they have access to resources that will help them. They can talk to someone. They can communicate with someone about their issues who they can talk to in confidence. So there's no reason for failure in their marriage. Mm-hmm. We just ain't having, because that's what he told me. Coach told me. And that's a wonderful feeling to have, to know that somebody else cares about your relationship as much as you do and want to see you succeed. Ooh, that was good, wasn't it? That just caused us a pause on radio.
Yes, it was very good. And I just want to encourage all of you ladies. I know Coach Anna was sharing that with you, but it's very important to have people that you can trust in your life to help hold you accountable, especially if you believe in the vows that you took when you stood at the altar before the priest or the preacher or whoever it was, the judge or whoever it was. If you believed in those vows, then they should be important enough for you to have people in your life that you can trust, that you can talk to make certain that you're successful in that marital relationship.
Well, ladies, we don't have much time. If any of you would like to share a comment, you might have bypassed where you can speak. I have a few people here on the line with us, and I'm going to just unmute a couple of lines. I'm going to come to 972-224-5150. I'm going to open up your line. Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Coach. This is Velda. How are you?
Hey, Velda. How are you doing?
Fantastic.
All right.
I really enjoyed that piece on communication as you were explaining the reframing of the way we approach our relationships.
Yeah.
I also heard one thing that really jumped out at me, and it was the way in which you expressed your feelings about the harmony in creating intentional communication between you and your partner, establishing a communication system going into the marriage. So, in fact, so when the emotions got high, you had a reference point to refer back to that gave you a point of harmony where you can at least begin to broach the conversation.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the next thing, that leads me right into this next piece. One of the things that I love is I love taking business principles, making them applicable to our lives, to our family, our marriage, whatever the case. Because you know what? One thing is proven is how to run a business.
Mm-hmm.
We know how businesses fail. We know how they succeed. We know basic formulas as it relates to business. Many of you have probably heard of a break-even analysis, you know, and that's where we're trying to see how much do we have to do or sell or produce before we get to that place where we're exceeding the cost of goods sold, where we can begin to make a profit, where this is profitable to us. And so when I think about marriage, and I want you to stay there for a minute, Velda, and when I think about marriage, I think about this. With everything, there is a break-even point. The faster you get to the break-even point in your marriage, the faster you will know how possible your success can be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's important to make it, put it in the right language, I call it marriage consumption and marriage contribution. So the break-even point is when the two equal each other. But you want to make it beyond the break-even point because beyond the break-even point, everything you do is profitable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you spend your time below that line, if marriage consumption is greater than marriage contribution, guess what? You're operating at a loss in that marriage.
Mm.
Okay? If marriage contribution is greater than marriage consumption, then you're above the break-even point in the marriage. So as newlyweds, or the break-even point in marriage is getting to the place of contributing more in your marriage than what you consume from it. Marriage contribution must exceed marriage consumption. None of us want to be in business and just live at the break-even point. Because the break-even point says, guess what, you're no longer experiencing a loss, but it doesn't say you're profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like in your marriage, if you continue to operate at the break-even point, guess what? You're going to get tired. You're going to get exhausted. You're going to say, is this worth it? Am I worth it? Why are we doing this? We're not getting anywhere. We just kind of flatline. No life in the marriage. No opportunity in the marriage. And that's what it's like in business. You start searching. We're just barely making it, but we're not losing anything. But guess what? We're not abundant either. Right. We're not living in that place where we're in the overflow in our life, where there's profit in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
where it profits me to know you,
mm-hmm.
where it profits us to be together, that we do incredible things together.
Mm-hmm.
If we just going to have a marriage that is at its break-even point.
Mm-hmm.
And break-even means that, guess what? It can go any way, any day.
Mm-hmm.
That means we can profit or we can lose. That means I'm at the point that I don't know if I could take one more day. I'm not sure if we'll make it one more day.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't sell enough, if we don't get enough, then guess what? We can't go one more day. We can't go another week because our expenses will exceed the income that we have in this marriage. Or what we better know is our deposits and withdrawals will then become, they will exceed what we have on account. So when you think about the break-even, you want a break-even point in your marriage. You want to get beyond that. You want to live above the line, not below the line.
Mm-hmm.
As newlyweds, we are consumers. Initially consuming everything from our mate, immediately we receive the value of friendship, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual. We're blissful, we're excited, romantic, loving, and patient, believing this is what we are supposed to do. We limit confrontation. We consider, we measure, we anticipate our mate's thoughts, needs, and desires. That's what we do when we first come into the relationship. But what do we do when we're in it for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
for 10 years? We came here half of the time, go on, tell the truth. Be like, huh? What'd you say, huh? Huh? Because we can't hear him, because this point of consumption will cause you to want more and more of something.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're trying to get to know that person. You're in pursuit. You got this whole process of wanting to consume that. But once you consume it, then guess what? There must be a balance. Because guess what? If you're consuming, the other one's contributing. If the other one's consuming, you're contributing. And so there's this balance that's starting to be created in the relationship. And then one of you will start to either contribute more and the other one will consume. But
mm-hmm.
it's when you get right here, you recognize that we know something,
mm-hmm.
that when we get to that break-even point, when our marriage consumption and our marriage contribution start to equal each other, and then we start giving more instead of sucking up the relationship, then we move that relationship into a profitable position. And that requires both of us to be on this side of that equation, to be people of contribution rather than just consumers of the marriage. You know, you'll feel like you've been sucked up out of a straw. Let me go. Just let me breathe. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, typically many refer to the first year as one of the most difficult in marriage. Certainly this can be true. When we consider two people merging their possessions, passions, and persons with one another, also to be considered the opportunity for traction with a plan of action. The reason why I'm talking about the beginning of this moment, because I'm not going to assume that you started out this way.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody might say, well, you know, that's for newlyweds. Well, most of the people who get married in the world don't have any kind of plan for their marriage. They spend all their time planning the wedding, but not planning the life that they're going to live together. So typically, it's one of the most difficult times because of what we call the merge crisis. Those first 1 to 3 years we get together, we're trying to merge everything together, and I call it a merge crisis, because what's happening in that moment is we're trying to make sure, you know, that marriage consumption and marriage contribution thing, is we're trying to see, okay, we're setting territory. We're trying to figure out, okay, am I going to have to get up and fix the breakfast? If I start doing this, then I might have to do this for the rest of the marriage. Come on now, talk to me. Okay, another one could be, like, I had a conversation with someone last night, and I told her I was going to say this, and her husband ended up selling his home and moving into her home, and we were talking about how when I first got married, I chug-a-lugged my stuff from California over to New York, you know, and all I came with was a suitcase and a couple of boxes. And do you know, when I arrived in Edgewater, New Jersey, it was like the man didn't know I was coming. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that feels like? I was like, did you know you was getting married? He was like, well, yeah, we've married now. Well, when I arrived, ladies, he hadn't done one single thing to make room for me. And I thought, oh, what did I get myself into? Are you hearing me? So when we were talking about this, she started talking because she's moving. And her husband said they've been married for a couple of years. And he said he moved into her house. And she said to me, she says, Anna, I got all these magnets. I had all these magnets on my refrigerator. I mean, just magnets all over. I mean, you couldn't even see the refrigerator. She had magnets from where she traveled. She just buy magnets. And they were all, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So her husband said, when she was packing all the stuff up, he said, well, I hope you don't think you're going to put some magnets on this refrigerator out here. You know why? Because now we're moving in here together. So let's make some decisions together. He said, you need to get you something. You can put the magnets on a wall somewhere because I am not about to look at another magnet opening up the refrigerator. And we laughed so hard because she said, I never even thought of that. I say, I understand because my husband didn't know I was coming. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a speck of space in the closet. There was not a drawer in the house that was prepared for me. I hardly could even sleep in his own in the bed the man had. I think we slept in that bed for about 1 week before we went and bought a new king size bed. And he threw me out. He's like, oh no, I ain't used to sleeping with nobody. You gonna have to go sleep on the couch or something. There's another bed in that other room. But do you hear what I'm saying? So when we think about marriage transition, I'm talking about these things because I want you to reflect. If you're having any kind of challenge in your relationship or in your marriage, I want you to reflect on it just a little bit about how you started out. Mm-hmm. I want to also invite 404-358 to the show today to just give us your comments, your observations. This is Coach Anna McCoy. You're listening to Woman Act Now Radio. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, speak a little louder. Don't be too quiet on us now.
I'm sitting here laughing because kind of went through a lot of that in my marriage. We've been married for about 12 years.
Yes.
And it took adjusting. It took compromise and a lot of sacrifice.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay, you must be on the computer, so if you'll just mute your computer for a second and let me talk to you on the phone, then we won't get the feedback.
Okay.
All right, so go ahead. Who are we talking to?
You're talking to Tracy Colwood.
Hey, Miss Tracy. I hope you had an opportunity to talk to some of my people.
I sure did on yesterday.
All right, very good. I don't want to get off focus, though. So let's stay back to our subject matter. So you say you were sitting there laughing because of what now? What part of this what part of this message is actually resonating with you?
A lot of it. I mean, with my husband and I not having any challenges, you know, prior to when we got into this relationship and this marriage thing, we thought, oh, everything is just going to be perfect. And when he started coming out of the shower and leaving his underwear at the foot of
See, somebody want to get real with me now. That's what I'm talking about. That, you know what I was referring to, too, Tracy, when I said, you know what? You don't know a man till you live with him.
With him. It's true. It is too true. But,
that is hilarious.
We got past it, and we started to learn each other. And every year, we sit down and reassess what we desire from each other and for the relationship and even for our children. So
yes,
we know the plan and we stay on the same page.
Well, that's, you know, that is the key, is because a part of that, thank you so much, Tracy. I'm going to put you on mute again. And thank you for joining us on the show, though.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the opportunity.
One of the things that I want to share with you is this next thing, and Tracy kind of brought that up, is sitting down and assessing where we are.
Mm-hmm.
When we think about this whole idea of this marriage transition, I'm going to ask you this question, what would the value of a strategy for marriage be for newlyweds and veterans to reach the break-even point of contributing more than they consume? for newlyweds, would it be feasible, would it be a feasible challenge to reach break even in the first 90, 100, or 180 days of marriage? Would that be a feasible challenge? And we're saying, can you make it to that place quickly that your marriage contribution will exceed your marriage consumption? But for veterans, can you begin again? That usually is the question. Some people think we can't do anything. You know, one thing I know for sure that you can do, if two people will agree upon it, you can begin again.
Yes.
And so you've been listening to Coach Anna McCoy, and my God, I got about 25 more of these left. But I'm going to have to say that for now. I'm going to have to say that for next year and stuff, you know, for my book I'm going to write called The Business of Marriage, just throwing out a little bit of something up here for you. So I want to encourage you to visit our website at Woman Act Now Radio, and we will continue our discussions this month on relationships. So this is Coach Anna McCoy and Shauna Stallworth, and we want to tell you thank you for listening, and for those who joined us and took the risk to share with us, we want to thank you for doing that and being a part of the show. Ladies, you know we do what? Love and appreciate you. And so have a grand day, and we will talk to you real soon, and we'll see you on 15 Minutes to Destiny on Monday. Be blessed and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.